Recognition, power, and influence is your birthright, and this podcast shows you how to get there. Welcome to episode number 223. Today's episode is an interview with a dear friend and colleague of mine, Carol Cox. Carol is the founder of Speaking Your Brand, and she is the host of the podcast of the same name. And she is an advocate and a sponsor for many women to get their voices heard on the stage. So just as you listen to that introduction, there's obvious reasons why I would have her on my podcast. But in particular this week, the reason why I'm having her on is because, as you might have heard, I am hosting a workshop this Thursday, a live event where I'm going to be walking you through telling a better story so that you can finally get the recognition that you deserve. If you've been listening to this podcast, you want a better job. You want more influence at your current job. You want a promotion as part of your current role, or you're seeking an opportunity outside of your organization. And the only thing that is keeping you from getting there is your story. If you start to tell the story of executive leadership, if you start to show them that you are ready for that next level of leadership or whatever role that they have available, if you can tell a better story, then you will get that next level leadership role. So this Thursday is a special one-time only live event where I'm going to teach you how to tell a leadership story so that you can get a better job. Join us at stacymayer.com/storytelling and sign up. Even if you aren't able to join us live, I know that this podcast episode is only coming out a couple of days before the event. Go there and sign up right away so that you can get the replay of the event. It's only for people who sign up before I do the live event. This is truly a one-time only event. So you're going to want to go to stacymayer.com/storytelling. So I asked myself for today's interview, who is the best expert on telling a better story? And I couldn't think of anyone better to have on my podcast than Carol Cox. And in today's episode, she actually teaches me personally how to tell my own story better. Because we all know it's much easier to lead your team than it is to lead yourself. I mean, hey, I know what it's like. And so I asked Carol for some advice, kind of put her on the spot, and she gave me such amazing tweaks to my own personal story. And as you're listening to this episode, you can get a head start on your own personal brand and start showing up as that executive leader right away. All right, let's get started.
Welcome to Women Changing Leadership. I am your host, Stacy Mayer, and I teach you how to get promoted, get paid, and bring your whole self to the leadership table. I am on a mission to change organizations from the C-suite out because women are the new face of leadership, and we are doing it on our terms.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Changing Leadership. I am your host, Stacy Mayer, and super excited to be here with you again this week. I have a very special guest on today. She is someone that, ironically, when we finally met each other, we were both sort of fangirling each other. You've heard me talk many times about Eleanor Beaton, and she wrote the foreword of my book. And we met in her program. And I remember I was like, Carol, I know you. And she was like, Stacy, I know you. And we both followed each other on LinkedIn. And we were both huge fans of each other's work. And at some point, she had me on her podcast, which we can link to in the show notes. And I will talk more about that. And then I realized that I haven't yet had her on my podcast, even though I've known her and been such a huge fan of hers for a couple of years. But I do believe in timing, and I think this is the absolute perfect time to have her on here. And I just can't wait to share her amazing wisdom with you. I'll give you an overview of her skills and all the her bio and so on. But first, I just want to say hi, Carol. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Stacy. It is my pleasure. And you're right. I think the timing is perfect.
It's so great. I love it how that works out.
So here's her bio. Carol Morgan Cox is the founder and CEO of Speaking Your Brand, a coaching and training company that helps high-performing, purpose-driven women create their signature talks and thought leadership platforms. Carol is the host of the weekly 5-star rated Speaking Your Brand podcast, and during election seasons serves as a Democratic political analyst on TV news. That's exciting. Welcome. I always like to start out with my guests talking about your own personal secret to success. Tell us a little bit more about how you would define that for yourself.
So here's what I would say, Stacey, is that I am willing to pivot when necessary. But here's the thing about it is like I have to have something external that forces me to pivot, like external factors. I'm a very like routine based person. You know, I liked my morning routine. I eat the same foods every week. I have my exercise routine and I love it. Like I love that sense of kind of I know what's coming. But yet I also have the sense of adventure, but these external factors will cause me to pivot. So for example, I went to get a PhD in history to be a professor, totally pivoted to that, went into tech, became a software developer, started 2 technology companies, pivoted from that, went and got involved in local politics. That's how I became a political analyst on TV news, pivoted from that, started Speaking Your Brand in 2015, pivoted when COVID happened and there were no in-person speaking engagements anymore for any of our clients. But I see the opportunities and the pivots, and I find that kind of that silver lining and how it can not only benefit me and my career, but also whomever I happen to be working with.
You know, I love that because I'll hear, and I think we talked about this briefly before we came on today, I'll hear from my clients about this idea of chaos. And, you know, I just wish that my career was easier, that could be just this straightforward path. And I'm like, do you? Do you really? Because in a lot of ways, you created that. So even though it feels like just the natural pivot, just the natural course of events, I changed my mind or whatever, it's like, and that's also got to be part of your personality.
Yeah. So I feel like once I master something, I love to learn, like probably you and many of your listeners and the woman you work with. I love to learn. I love to like learn new things, explore new things, explore ideas. But then once I mastered it, probably get a little bored. I'm like, okay, well, what else is next? What else can I do? Not necessarily, I don't need more degrees and certifications to prove it to anyone else. Just I want to understand it for myself.
So now I'm thinking about, and she has all of these electronics behind her. We'll have a video clip and it's really like a flashing tree and all kinds of flashy stuff behind you. I feel like I need some of that. Like here I am, the improv performer. I have like my boring static background. Like you're inspiring me in real time. So you've actually been doing Speaking Your Brand. It's got to be a long time. How long have you been running this business? Because clearly you stuck with this niche. You're sticking with it. So I know you might be reinventing, obviously, business models and so on and how you work with your clients. But why has this been the crux of the work that you're giving the world?
So I started Speaking Your Brand in 2015, went full time with it in 2017. I had that technology business beforehand. So I knew like I wanted to wind that down because kind of was just, again, like tired of just working with code, really wanted to work with people instead. So I started Speaking Your Brand. My initial kind of reasoning to myself was, okay, I want to work with other women, women entrepreneurs and professionals. And people always said I was a great public speaker, great presentation. So I'm going to focus on that niche because, of course, we need a niche in our businesses. But then I actually delivered a keynote at the end of 2021, my first in-person after COVID had started. And it was about finding your purpose through resistance. And I was standing there delivering the keynote to the audience, not planned, because I knew I had my script done, right? I knew what I was talking about. And all of a sudden I said to myself, oh, that's why I started Speaking Your Brand. It was because I needed the support system that I didn't have back in 2006 when I was bullied out of my political position because I was a woman with too much of a public voice and too much of a public presence. That's why I've stuck with Speaking Your Brand, because even though I can always make it interesting to me, but I realize at my core, that's what I was looking for myself. And I know other women are too.
That gave me goosebumps. Wow. And just think about, you said you started it 2015, officially 2017, and then in 2021 was when you finally figured it out. So many of us are looking to figure it out today, figure out why we do the things we do, and it's evolving. Oh, that's just so powerful. Speaking of, We're going to give you some amazing speaking techniques and so on. We're going to tap Carol's brain like today for sure. But I want to stay on this topic of bullying for a minute. And one of the things that happens, I think, for my clients, and luckily, if I'm working with them very directly, I can help them pivot. So I do feel very strongly in helping people put their thought leadership out in the world, have that voice, but in a way that's acceptable, which does not mean act more like a man or act more like everybody else. But there are like these unwritten rules. There are certain things that I'll notice that I always talk about. Like you want to get sent to human resources office, start posting on LinkedIn. And I mean, you will, because human resources will flag you because they're like, are you looking for a job? It's like dumb, but it's part of the deal. She's like shaking her head. No, but it's happened. That's how I know this. And so we want to work within these parameters, but there is also the other side, which is just the fact is, as women, when we start putting our voice out there, we get bullied. So there's the technical human resources might think we're looking for a job, but then there's the other side, which is just like people are very threatened by us. And so I just love to hear your thoughts. Yes. That's not really a question. Just like what comes to mind.
So yes, people are threatened by women who want to achieve a more powerful position,
right?
Who are ambitious, who want to get promoted. And we, and of course, we know the reason we want these positions is because we want to do good. We want to make our teams better, our organizations better, our communities better, our industries better, whatever it happens to be. But because of all the societal messaging and myths and the history from millennia, like we are ingrained in this idea that, you know, women are destructive. So that's sitting in us and it's sitting in men, it's sitting in everyone. So these subconscious reactions happen, and I hear it from so many women, and they could be talking about the most innocuous topics. Like I happen to be talking about politics, so I was kind of setting myself up, talking about things that you would not think anyone would be threatened by, like not controversial topics at all. And I was having a conversation with a woman just a couple weeks ago at lunch. She's a PhD, very highly regarded in her field, very high level position. And a couple years ago, she was not talking about anything controversial, but she was getting more of the spotlight for the recognition and the reward for the excellent work she was doing in her position. She got bullied out of that job and forced into early retirement because of that. And Stacey, I wish I had the answer for this. I think like as women, we need to recognize when we see this going on with other women, we need to be that support system. And if it's happening to us, find that support system for ourselves to know that we're not alone. It doesn't only happen to us. And we have to be willing to stand up to it if it makes sense for us in that moment.
My very first webinar that I did when I started my business on getting promoted. So the goal was to get promoted, but I did a webinar on how to be seen as a thought leader. And my idea behind it was that if we can showcase our leadership and have greater points of view about our industry, about the culture, about organizations, about leadership in general, then we can be recognized as a leader who's ready for the next level. And it's very true. Certain skills and ways that we can start to put ourselves out there as a thought leader. And I know that that's also the name of your signature program, correct? So
yes.
I figure that you have something to share about thought leadership and maybe even define a little bit about what that means to you and how you encourage folks to come up with their own thought leadership and really be able to share that.
So our signature program is called the Thought Leader Academy. So yes, very much about thought leadership and week. And for us, our focus is on thought leadership and then using public speaking as a primary channel of expression of that thought leadership. Other people focus on, say, writing a book or
getting
things online. Right, getting exactly.
You're right.
So like, yeah. Well, here's what I would say to your listeners who I know are primarily work in corporate is that it is really important. I know you, Stacey, and you talked to them about this, to develop your own personal brand that is separate from your corporate identity, because that's the thing that you own and you can take with you no matter where you go, no matter what happens in your current position. And your thought leadership is part of that personal brand. And it's, you know, what matters to you? What changes do you want to see? Positive changes do you want to see within your industry? And then how can you start contributing to those conversations that are going on? And you don't have to have something unique that's never been talked about in the world before. Instead, think about your own personal experiences, your own personal journey, and it could be good. The experiences and journey could be positive. And how can you use that to inform your perspective for your thought leadership and start putting that out into the world wherever it looks. Maybe LinkedIn is not the place.
You can use some of it. You said just again, like the awareness around it, you know your culture and know what's happening behind the scenes. So what are some questions that you can ask yourself to begin to think about, well, what do I care about? What does matter to me?
Well, what are some of the things that I ask our clients is, what do you get on your soapbox about? Do you see an article, whether it's in Harvard Business Review or the New York Times or MIT, you know, when you see an article and you read it and you're like, oh my gosh, like things should not be that way. Or, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is still going on. So like you get kind of on your soapbox about it, even if it's just yourself and your cat. So that's an indication. The second indication is, what are you seeing that others are not noticing? So you're like doing things and, or, you know, again, you're like, you're working with your team members, you're out at industry conferences and you're seeing, you're like, no one's really picking up much on this. And I see there's an opportunity here, or I see there's an issue here that can be addressed. And the third thing I would say is like, look through that thread throughout your career and even into when you were younger as a kid and in high school and college. What were those things that you always gravitated to? What are those things that, you know, your family always kind of talks about, or their stories that always come up? And then that can help you to think about, okay, like, how do I put all those things together about what matters to me? So, for example, I've been a feminist since I learned the word when I was a teenager. I remember coming home to my mom and I was like, oh my gosh, like, why do we need this thing called feminism? Of course, I'm just as equal as all the boys in my class. Like, why would we even need such a thing? And so everything that I've done in my career has been looking for the women in the stories and then wanting to make sure that they were empowered to live to their fullest potential.
Okay, now I'm feeling inspired to ask you for some advice. So you know a little bit about my business. I coach women to get promoted. I'm curious if there is a story in there that I'm not telling. Because one thing that is really fascinating to me, I'm just going to be completely honest, is that I've been on stage since, you know, I did 20 years of professional theater, and I have never done my TED Talk. It bothers me. It annoys me. I don't even submit. I don't know why. I've written a book. I've done all the things. And I'm wondering if there's like a story in there. So I would love to hear any questions that you have for me. Maybe some real time. I'll put you on the spot even more right now as a coaching moment.
Okay. Yeah. No, I love this, Stacey. So first, yes, you absolutely should apply. And if you think about it, obviously TEDx talks are so unique. They're so powerful. You know, you have about 10 minutes to really leave your audience, not only thinking differently, but also feeling something from the message that you shared with them. What would you want them to feel? And what would you want them to be thinking about after they heard you talk?
So I would want them to feel empowered. And I think the thing that just like came into mind is what they're being told is actually wrong and they're right. I've been really thinking a lot about the women's intuition and reminding the women that there's a reason you're not raising your hand. There's a reason that you're not speaking up. You're actually right. You're not included in this room. This is not your room. And you are being bullied or whatever. So that with that intuition is what is true. And then when you feel uncomfortable because your boss tells you just to sit tight and keep doing what you're doing, but there's that part of you that says, if I do that, I'm going to be sitting in the same job. And so really walk away knowing that what they're telling you is a lie and it's actually not true. And you're right. Your intuition is right on. And now, third piece, what are we going to do about it?
Thinking back in your life, whether it was when you were young or in your career, when was there a time when you didn't use your intuition and you saw the benefit of it? Or was there a time when you didn't and you recognized later about that inflection point?
I'm just going to go off the first story that come to my head is that when I first moved to New York, I actually was an improv performer at Second City Improv Olympic in Chicago. And I moved to New York as a late 20-year-old with a lot of experience. And I was like in cattle call lines waiting to be accepted. This is like cattle call is like you go to the Equity building and you wait in line to say two lines. And I was like, this doesn't feel right, but it felt like what I was supposed to do. And so I was like, oh, well, this is how you get a job. And so I just like woke up one morning and was like, why do I have to wait? And so my intuition was basically saying that I was experienced, that I had 8 years of experience under of professional theater under my belt. And so that's when I was doing improv before, but now I did my own improv. Like I started my own theater, but I did it by reaching out to really famous people. And I was like, let me just connect with people. And in New York, if you're in the improv scene, these people are very accessible. Like Saturday Night Live, people are on stage. Like you can just talk to them. And so I was like, well, I'll just ask them to be in my show. So I just started asking cool people to be in my show. It was the best performance I ever did. I had some just like incredible people on stage. I felt so good about the work that I was doing, all these great things. But it was strictly from like wondering if that rule of waiting in line was real, if that was the measurement of success or if I could do something different.
Okay, so I love that story, Stacey, for your TEDx talk, what any speaking that you do, because you know, you can like act out some parts of it, which is always fun, you know, to add some performance elements to it, right? I mean, I think about TEDx talks in particular. So you take your personal story and you universalize it for a bigger message. And so you have what individuals can do, but you also have to think of like systems, like systemic, structural things. So when you said like, why am I waiting? The question that I think of is, who is it benefiting to make you wait? To make all those people in the cattle call line,
yes.
To make all these women,
yes.
And people of color in within organizations, making them wait. Who is it benefiting?
I hope that as a listener, you know the answer. Maybe you don't, but it's so clear to me. I just had this conversation in coaching because a woman said, it's just really hard to break the cycle of 20 years of being told to just wait. And I was like, and who are the people telling you this? And she's like, white men. And I was like, did any of those white men not wait? And she's like, right. Oh, yeah, lots of them. Right. And so it's like it benefits them to tell. And so I just wanted to kind of be obvious, but that's so clear.
Yes. Yes.
And you just did something that is so profound. And I hope everybody listening just like throws lots of money at you is I was not applying because I didn't have my story right. So when we go back to my intuition, I was saying, well, you know, that's about me or whatever. But when you just made it universal and like these bigger principles, now I'm like, okay, I need to start Googling. I need to get this application out because my voice matters. You just like took it from like this personal story to this bigger mission and everything that I care about.
Yes.
I feel very motivated. I got to go with Carol. I got to submit.
I'm feeling this. I want you to deliver this talk. I want
right.
you to this message. I'm actually thinking, oh, what am I waiting for? Who has been telling
right.
me to wait for things? And you are the messenger for your message. You are the person to deliver this to the audiences who need to hear it from you. And that goes to you, Stacey, as well as to everyone else who's listening.
It's really hard to top this, but I did want to talk a little bit more about storytelling. And that was sort of the main theme that I gave Carol when we came on here. It was the only scripted part. And of course, I haven't done that yet, is to really talk about, I guess one is like uncovering stories, but also because we kind of did that a little bit just now, but really the power of storytelling, because I think I understand it intellectually, but I'd love to hear how you use stories in your coaching for women on speaking on stage in particular.
So I'm going to ask the listeners, based on everything you've heard Stacey and I just talk about, what do you remember right now? And they're all going to say, I remember Stacey standing in that cattle call line for that improv and then finding these really great improv players and creating her own event. Why do we remember that? Because we painted a visual in our mind as you were telling it, because you painted the visual for us. You use what I have called the ideal story ingredient. So ideal is an acronym. I love acronyms. So it's imagery, dialogue, like dialogue in your own mind. So you were saying to yourself as you told the story, why am I waiting? You know, what am I doing this? Emotion, how you were feeling, action. So the action that was going on in the story, and then lesson. What's the lesson that you're taking from it? That is the power of storytelling, because not only is it memorable, but we put ourselves in the person's shoes as we're hearing the story. Now, I've never been in a cattle call line in New York City, Stacey, waiting to, you know, for acting or improv opportunities. But there have been times where I've been like, yeah, I've been waiting for stuff. And why? So it doesn't matter if you feel like no one else can relate to your story. be super specific in your story, because actually that's what allows the audience to put themselves in their own stories as you're sharing it.
Have you ever found somebody doesn't have a story?
Yes, I do have women who come to me and they say, I'm not good at remembering stories. I can't think of anything. Trust me, we all have stories, and we'll just keep digging and digging and digging. I have, you know, different question prompts. I have 11 key stories that we work on in the Thought Leader Academy for your story banks. Everyone from compelled to take action to crisis of confidence to pin drop stories. So, and there's prompts for them. So generally, you'll at least get to remember about half of those.
Yeah, they're in there. So now I'm thinking about, okay, you've got your story. Now you have to take the stage. And I've had a couple of women, one woman in particular, she got promoted to this position where she was now presenting at all hands and at public events, and it's like heart racing, all the things, and not feeling like the expert. And then the advice she's being given is just be yourself. And it's like, what? I don't know what that means. I'm like, how do I do that? So how do you actually get the women that you work with from the story to the stage?
We have the whole framework that we use with them to create their talks from beginning to end. And so obviously stories, and maybe if they have one key story, is a central element of their talk, but there's also the key points that they want to make. So what is the bigger message that they want to share? We kind of do that hand in hand. So what is the story? How is your story informing your key points? And then if you have your key points or your overall message, how can we find a story that reinforces that, that supports those key points that you're making? And so we map all of that out. And I know that there's a lot of reluctance, especially from women who work in corporate, to share stories.
Going to work is vulnerable, right? You know what I mean? For a lot of women, especially in male-dominated industries, it's vulnerable just to show up on camera at work. You're like, I'm going to be on stage? Anyway, I just want to throw that out. I just had this visual of like, you know what? It's hard enough anyway.
You know, here's the thing. Like, no one ever has to share anything that they don't feel comfortable with or they don't feel is appropriate for that event and for that audience. Completely. I may share a story on my podcast because I feel like it's an intimate medium with my listeners, but I wouldn't necessarily share that at a, you know, a corporate industry event with 1,000 people in the audience. It wouldn't feel right for me, and it probably wouldn't feel right for the audience as well. So there's judgment also. But I will say that, so stories can take all different shapes. A story could be something about, say, mentorship. Maybe as a woman in corporate, you've reached a certain level and you are now mentoring those coming up behind you. And you think of a mentor that you had earlier in your career who really impacted you. So the difference between what I call an anecdote and a story, an anecdote is, oh, I had this mentor early in my career that was really helpful because she introduced me to some people. Okay, great. A story is, you know, I remember it was really early in my career and I was feeling kind of stuck and I needed something. So I met this woman, Mary, and she was kind enough. She would take me to lunch every month and she would really ask me these probing questions. And I remember at lunch one time, she looked at me and she said, what are you waiting for? Who are you waiting to give you permission? And I realized in that moment that she was right. And so I ended up applying for that promotion. You see the difference?
Yes.
That's a vulnerable story in the sense of you had to say, like, I was feeling stuck. I was feeling a little uncertain, but it's not like exposing my entire heart to the audience.
That makes a lot of sense. I love that. Any tips to the stage fright part of it, I guess, like the actual act of physically going on stage? Do you work with clients directly on that? Like, do they practice or like, how do we get over that hurdle?
Yeah. So when we're in the Thought Leader Academy, it's an online program because we have women from all over the world. We do practice in Zoom and we also then bring them on our LinkedIn live show. So they get to deliver a 10 minute
oh, that's
of
huge.
Their talk.
Yeah.
They practice with us and they all do a great job. We also do in-person workshops in Orlando, Florida, where we're based. So women fly in to do those in-person workshops because then we can really get our hands on them, right? And do stuff. So I would say stage fright. And Stacey, you know this probably better than anyone, is that the more you do it, the easier it really does get. It's then, you know, imagine you only did something once every 2 years or once every 5 years. Yes, it's going to be nerve-wracking. Like, how is it going to feel? What is it going to look like? Where's the audience going to be? How am I going to come on stage? What is the microphone going to be like? But you start doing it every month or every couple of months and you're kind of, you know, iterating through your content and you're getting the feedback from the audience. And then all of a sudden it becomes exciting. That adrenaline that you're feeling is becomes more of excitement versus dread.
Yes. I heard this once, like the place where the adrenaline and the dread is like the same place in your body, right? Like it has the same physical sensation and it's just how you think about it. That's such a good point. And having support groups like your community and really not feeling like you're out there on your own doing this all by yourself. As we continue to evolve our stories and who we are, like what is the real impact of the work and how do you see your business growing or shifting or changing or not changing? I'm just curious what comes up for you.
Yeah, so I have lots of thoughts about AI because I have a tech background. So when ChatGPT came out, I was all very excited. And, you know, we created some AI apps very early on to use within Speaking Your Brand. I've done podcast episodes related to it. And, you know, as far as thinking about public speaking is that, sure, you can go to ChatGPT right now and you can say, here's my topic. Here's my audience. Can you write me a presentation outline? And it will give you one. It's rather generic, but, you know, it could be a starting place. And you can kind of dig deeper and have it iterate and things like that. And you can even ask it to use the Speaking Your Brand Signature Talk Canvas framework to outline your presentation, and it knows, and it will do it because I have enough publicly available content on there that it knows what our framework is. But you still need to put your heart and soul into your presentations. That's what connects you with your audience. It's not really the information. Mm-hmm. It's the transformation you're providing to the audience. And you need to understand what that transformation is in order to deliver that to your audience. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that with the rise of deep fakes, and things being able to clone people's voices, video, you know, imagery, likeness. I feel like, at least this is what I'm hoping, because I want this for myself, not even just for the business, is the return to more in-person events and doing business with each other in person. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a huge lack of trust online when we're not going to know what is real and what's not. And even very, very quickly, even though it looks real, we're not going to really know. And so I feel like, as human bodies, we need to be around other people. And sure, you know, the pandemic showed us what happens when that's not possible. So I feel like there's going to be a boom in events and speakers and in-person activities.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a boom in our working together as well. Like, very excited. I was like, okay, the timing is right. As we said, full circle. Anything else that you want to share with my audience before we head out today?
I just say, you know, if like public speaking truly is such an amazing way to connect with an audience, you know, obviously at scale because you can talk to many, but I really see it as a two-way dialogue between you and the audience. You're exchanging energy, and you know this, Stacey, from doing improv. You're exchanging energy with the audience. You're feeding off of each other. You're learning from each other. Even if the audience doesn't say a word out loud back to you, like you are giving a gift to them of your time and attention, and they're doing the same for you. And I just think that is truly what we need more of in this world, is that connection and attention.
So true. What are some of the ways that people can connect with you online, offline, whatever?
Yeah. So if you like listening to podcasts, go over to the Speaking Your Brand podcast. We have lots and lots of episodes on everything from, you know, obviously presentation tips, confidence on stage, et cetera. Stacey was on episode 252. So that was in November of 2021. Again, that's been a while ago, but it was a great episode. And then we do have a speaker archetype quiz. So we have four different speaker archetypes we've identified. If you want to know which one you are, how to leverage your strengths and some ideas for what to do to add to your presentations and speaking, you can take that quiz for free at speakingyourbrand.com/quiz.
Wonderful. All right, Carol, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure reconnecting with you. And I know my audience is going to get so much out of this. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Stacey.
Go. I have a question for you. Do you know how close you are to your next promotion? Really? Not what your boss has told you, not what you even believe to be true, but have you actually taken the time to sit down, take an assessment, review the 5 categories that it takes to get promoted into senior executive leadership positions, and decided where you fall in each category, and given yourself a ranking on a scale of 1 to 10 of how close you are to getting your next promotion? Have you done this? Well, now's your chance. If that feels interesting to you and you're like, hey, I want to know exactly how close I might actually be, or how far away you might be, and what it's going to take to get you even closer, then I invite you to take my promotability quiz. This is a quiz that I put together with practical tips that actually tell you where you're lacking and where you're winning. What are the areas that you actually need to improve, and not necessarily what your boss is telling you all the time, so that you can take concrete steps towards landing that next promotion and changing the face of the leadership table. Go to yourpromotabilityscore.com to take your free assessment today. Yourpromotabilityscore.com, and let me know how it goes.